Today on 10 Minute Driver Profiles, we explore the man who could take a British touring car win in a horse and cart. This is the 10 Minute Driver Profile of Ash Sutton.
Hello and welcome back to the British Touring Car Podcast. We are back once again to take you through another driver profile. As you've already heard in the intro, we're going to take a look at a four-time champion and counting,
because
he may well add to it this season. Ashley Sutton, he's an underrated driver, isn't he?
Yeah, I don't think people quite put him in the lists where he deserves to be.
He's achieved a hell of a lot in his short time in the British Touring Cars, and he's certainly up there with one of the greats. I think that's not even disputable. Although there might be some people out there that are thinking that, but
they would be wrong. They would be wrong. It's interesting, he's got quite an arc, hasn't he? Because from hot-headed style driver to a much more calm and relaxed driver now. And actually, as I said before on podcast, I've been watching back some of the crash compilations for the touring cars. And actually, you can see his sort of trademark cutback overtake, which is done to the millimeter, works really well. Wasn't always as polished.
No, he's been caught up in a few instances in his career, some more notable than others, especially at Snetterton.
I knew you were going to say that.
But yeah, he's been in the touring cars a little while now. He was born in 1994, same year as us, mate. Think of the success we could have had.
Oh, I think I know who's been the more successful. It's Sutton.
Yeah, born in Bishop Stortford in Essex, and burst onto the British touring car scene in 2016.
Like Mark Vicarage.
And as we've already mentioned, is a four-time champion and counting. He started a career in karting, as most drivers do, but then progressed into Formula V and also Formula Ford. In 2010 in Formula V, he was fourth in championship. And then in 2014 in Formula Ford, he was third in championship. So he wasn't very prolific at that younger age, but then he moved into the Renault Clio Cup, which I think is where we all probably know him from, first of all.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I didn't actually realize he'd started in karting aside, started in single seater racing. I thought he came straight through the Clio Cup, so there you go.
Yeah, so in 2015, he came into the Clio Cup and won that, taking 6 wins and 14 podiums along the way, which then got him his big step up into the big time, into the touring cars for 2016, in which he would debut with MG Racing with 888.
Did he have Josh Cook as his teammate that year? His good old friend,
Josh Cook, where he made his breakthrough Brands Hatch in the MG.
MG6, the old Jason Plato MG6.
So in that season, he secured a race win and won the Jack Sears Trophy for Best Rookie. As we know, a trophy that has been won by a lot of good drivers along the way, especially as they step up into the touring cars. And it was kind of a sign of things to come, wasn't it?
Absolutely, yeah. That would be one of many trophies to add to his rostrum.
Yeah, he took multiple poles, obviously that win as well, and got the call up to join Adrian Flux Racing in 2017 to drive that much maligned Subaru Levorg.
Well, it was maligned, apart from in his hands. Of course, it was one of those cars that shouldn't really be a successful race car because it's a big barge of a thing.
Yeah.
Similar tale for the Volvo, of course, back in the Super Tour era.
Yep.
Rick Rydell's Volvo
managed to make that work, though, didn't they?
Absolutely. And to be fair, to a degree, as we'll get onto later on, the Infiniti isn't exactly the most obvious touring car either. But yeah, certainly the Subaru took a while to get to grips to, but when they did get to grips with it, it was a very good car indeed.
Yeah, he did have quite a whingy teammate along the way, didn't he, with that Subaru?
Oh, I'll leave James Cole alone.
But after a slow start, he managed to notch 6 wins and 15 podiums, and then claimed his first British touring car title, managing to be the youngest champion since 1966, which is a hell of an achievement.
Yeah, massively so. I mean, as you say before, he did burst onto the scene. Everything he's been in, really, he absolutely took the touring car world by storm. A very fast, aggressive driver who doesn't shy away from an overtake, and is one of the most purest racers I've ever seen in terms of what, it's daft to say when I say that he enjoys overtaking, but
it's just his car control as well. He's able to place the car exactly where he wants on the circuit, being able to turn in, take tighter lines than other people and still get the drive out of the corner, which I find quite amazing. Despite not defending his title in 2018, he still clinched another 6 wins, but slipped a 4th overall in the championship. And we know the car that year was a little more difficult.
Yeah, so I think I'm right in saying that a regulation change was brought in to try and deal with the dominance of the Subaru from the year before. Yeah, we often see it in any form of motorsport that when somebody does well, nobody else likes it. The democracy of the rest of the 19 or however many teams pull together and go, that's not fair. And then it's something's changed for next season. We see it all the time. But from memory, a regulation was changed, which basically made the car pretty much undrive. I think they had to change where the engine was mounted, I think.
Really?
I think the engine was changed.
More like a DTM car.
Yeah, I might be wrong, but I think that was what the change was. And then, because if I remember rightly, then it had quite a few engine failures next season from having to change the location of the engine.
Yeah, they struggled even further in 2019. He had one standout victory at Brands Hatch.
Which we were there for.
But it was an up and down season.
Yeah, but that was a joke of a victory because that was in the absolute teeming rivers of Brands Hatch where he was going sideways through Paddock Hill Bend. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Which also means, of course, that jumping ahead slightly, he's now taken a win in every single year he's competed in the touring cars, which only a select few of people have that honour.
Yeah, quite surprising, really. For 2020, he managed to make the switch to Laser Tools Racing. We'd heard rumours of him testing that car midway through 2019, and then rumours came to fruition, and he moved there to partner Moffat at the time, didn't he?
Yeah, of course, Moffat started off that season in a Mercedes and swapped to the Infiniti halfway through the year. And yeah, again, it's just a car that... There's lots of cars that aren't in the grid that I go, oh, that'd make a good BTCC car. Mm. I never thought the Q50 would be a good option in that department.
No, but he did do rather well in it. Took both the drivers and the independence crown and consistent points in 26 out of 27 rounds that season. Obviously, COVID affected year, so we had 3 less rounds once we got round to racing again. Then in 2020...
So what you're saying is an asterisk by that title. Yes,
very much. Yeah. It's a bit like Liverpool's title. in 2021, he became the youngest ever 3-time champion, taking 5 wins and 27 top 10s.
Yeah.
Which is just mind-boggling, especially in the current era that we're in and the amount of competitive drivers that there are.
And that's it. If you look through Wikipedia of Sutton's race results, like once he gets himself established into the touring cars, it is ridiculous how many top 10 finishes he has. It's just outrageous.
He clinched the title with one race in hand that year and then jumped ship once again to his, 4th different car in 5 years or something like that to join up with Napa in 2022, piloting the Ford Focus ST, which he has been in ever since. Won 3 races and finished 2nd in the championship in 2022. Getting settled into the car, it's fair to say.
Yeah. Learning front-wheel drive in touring cars again.
Exactly. And then in 2023, reclaimed the title, his 4th BTCC crown, with 12 wins, matching Alumenu's single-season record along the way. And that car was absolutely dominant that year, wasn't it?
It was. And of course, it means he's the only driver to have won titles in front-wheel drive and rear-wheel drive machinery.
Yeah, and in so many different manufacturers as well.
Yeah, I think he's certainly the only one who's won multiple championships in different cars as well. Certainly 3, which is, it's astonishing. It just shows what a driver he is, that he can literally pilot anything to victory.
Yep. In 2024, a little more tricky year. Certainly the Napa Ford wasn't on it, and Jake Hill took the title that year. He still took 2 wins and decent consistency, as we've come to know from him, but missed out on the title. And then this year, he's been right on the pace. Him and Ingram have been the drivers to beat, and I don't think much is going to stop him winning a 5th this year.
I think Tom Ingram might have something to say about that.
He will have something to say about it. But
I do agree.
Halfway through the season, it's looking ominous.
Yeah, but as you keep telling me, all the tracks in the second half of the season are Hyundai tracks. You keep saying this.
And we've both said, who's going to win it at the end of the season? Sutton. And we both said Sutton. So, few stats for his career then, in the touring cars only. So, up to the start of this 2025 season, 267 starts. 44 of those have been wins and 96 podiums. I think he's now clinched his 100th podium this season.
Yeah.
13 poles, which I thought was quite low.
Yeah, but that pole was quite an interesting stat in the touring, because everyone's poles are really low. Like Ingram, like you look in the programmes, taken something like 9. I mean, that's probably more than that. But again, a fairly low number of poles is what you'd expect. And of course, I think that's because there's only one qualifying session that counts as a pole, which is obviously the first race of the day. If you start first in race two or three, it doesn't count as a pole because you've not earned it in that way. So I think that makes it slightly tricky. There's only 30 up for grabs each season. And realistically, there's 6, 7, 8 drivers that could take pole at any given time, isn't there? So
He has 46 fastest laps, which kind of go hand in hand with those race wins. Normally, if he's at the front and out clear, he'll normally go out and set a fastest lap nice and early on in the race and then take that win to back it up. And of course, as we already know, those four titles in 2017, 2020, 2021 and 2023 and possibly 2025 this season.
What do you think the future holds for Aston? Because he has done a GT race this season.
He has.
There is no speculation about that. We know he's done it. He's in a BMW. We know Napa are looking at entering a GT car for next year. And we know they're trying to sign a deal with a brand that can race in both GT and British touring cars. If he was to win the historic fifth title, which I don't think will ever be beaten, by the way, Turkin's not going to come back and immediately, unless someone else leaves, win a title straight away. Yep. So, and Ingram, as good as he is still would then be five titles back to eclipse and level it and eclipse. Yep. Same with Jake Hill. And do I see either of those winning five more titles? No, I honestly I don't. You know, so do you think that if he gets the Magic Five that he decides to go and give something else a go while he's still in his prime?
It wouldn't surprise me if he does. I think he's quite adept at, obviously we know he's quite adept at being able to race different cars and in different series, and I think he'd like to go off and experience different things as well. I could quite easily see him going and doing a GT package that involves Le Mans, because I think he'd love to have that on his CV. I think he'll stay mainly either UK or Europe. Mm-hmm. I don't think he'll go off to America or anything like that.
Not long term.
No, certainly not long term. And we know that he's got a young family now. So I think he's going to be primarily probably focused on that. And he may well take a couple of years out to spend with his family because of what he's achieved already. Yes, he'll probably scratch that racing itch a couple of times a year. But yeah, once he gets this fifth, depending on what the project is going forward with Napa and what car it is, he may well want to stay for a season or two, depending on that, just to prove another point of a can do it in another car sort of thing. But I don't think he's ever going to eclipse like the win record of Plato or anything like that. So I think records wise, it's the championship one he goes for first of all, and then the world's his oyster. He can go off and do what he likes and experience what he likes because of the reputation that he's already built up.
Absolutely. Well, that pretty much sums up the very quick Ash Sutton Chronicles. Obviously, as we said throughout, a good chance that he wins this year. Obviously, we've got a second half of the season to see if that one plays out. Have you got any final comments on Ash Sutton?
I really enjoy watching him race throughout the whole season. Yeah. And I think over the seasons that he's been in touring cars, he's matured really well. He doesn't get caught up in too many instances nowadays. I think he has a nice racing relationship with Ingram, certainly now, and they give a bit to each other. It's more of that classic style that they grew up with. But he is just star quality, and I hope he's able to transfer that into other disciplines if he does go off and do them.
Absolutely. Well, thank you for listening to our 10-minute-ish driver profile of Ash Sutton. If this is the first one you've listened to, there's a range of these in our series, and there's more coming all the time. So make sure, as ever, you're subscribed, liking the Facebook, liking the Instagram, liking the TikTok, and liking the YouTube. And we'll see you next time.
Bye-bye.
Today on...
Got an opening, everyone.
I have got an opening. I always have one wrong so I can then get the thing right. Ready?